more information on what you've heard? Have a travel question or comment? Just log on to petergreenberg.com. Now, here's Peter.
Peter Greenberg back with you as Ion Travel continues from the Sheraton Grand Riverwalk right here in Chicago. And of course, you can always reach me. You know the drill. Peter at petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. Let's go to a lot of those emails that have come in over the last week. Here's one from Alan who writes, would you travel to Egypt in May on a Viking cruise? Well, Alan, funny you should mention that because I will be in Egypt in May. That should tell you something. On another cruise that's actually going to transit the Suez Canal. That's the schedule. I'm sticking to it. As you know, the airspace is open over Egypt now. It's open over Israel. It's open over Jordan. Obviously, I'll be watching the situation carefully. Situational awareness is key, as you know. But I'm going to be monitoring up until the day I leave. And if the cruise doesn't cancel, guess what? I'm not canceling. And I don't think you should either. Remember, read the U.S. State Department advisories. Read the British Foreign Service advisories they give to their citizens. By the way, I think they happen to do a better job. And by the way, Egypt is no exception to this. There are so many countries that have English language newspapers that are accessible to you online. Go online, read the last 30 days, including today's, of that Egyptian newspaper in English. All those three sources of information combine to give you the opportunity to make an intelligent travel decision, and then you'll figure that out. Okay, that's my advice. Here's one from Mark who writes, ever since I was a kid watching Adventures in Paradise, oh my goodness, he's reminding me of a show I used to watch. And by the way, who was the star of that show? I'm dating myself now, I know. Gardner McKay. Anyway, Adventures in Paradise on TV, he writes, I wanted to experience Tahiti and the Polynesian Islands. Now I was thinking of going there and take a French language course for a couple of weeks at a school called Horizons Francophone, excuse me. As a solo traveling senior, I'd love to hear your thoughts on whether that sounds like a good idea. You know something? It sounds like a great idea. By the way, this coming, I believe June, maybe July, we'll get the actual dates, but it's coming up. Our new one-hour special is part of our Hidden series that airs on PBS, Amazon Prime, and Apple TV+, Hidden Tahiti. Now, I didn't learn how to speak French in order to go there, but knowing a little French didn't hurt, I can tell you that. But bottom line is, you go. And you know what? You'll have a great time. All right. This is one from Linda who writes, I asked you for suggestions about going to Antarctica, South Georgia, and Falkland Islands this year. Your recommendations were Hurtigruten, Ponant, and Silver Sea. My question is, how do they compare to Quark, Lindblad, Aurora, and G Adventures? Okay, well, look, here's the deal, Linda. Quark is much more of an expedition. For many, many years, they were actually going on converted icebreakers. At one point, they were using converted Russian icebreakers. Lindblad, they do an excellent job, by the way. They're partnered with National Geographic. Aurora, I'm not that familiar with, so I can't give you a recommendation. And G Adventures, probably not for you on this particular trip. Not for the first introduction to the Antarctic. But let's go back again. I like Hurtigruten. They do a great job. They've got unbelievable ships that are hybrids now. Ponant, they do a great job as well. Silver Sea for the luxurious way to do it, but remember you want to go on a Silver Sea expedition cruise where you're actually on board with researchers that will take you ashore and you'll actually learn something. Those are my advice, that's my advice, I should say. Also, you said, I'm nervous about crossing the Drake. Any thoughts? Well, you didn't tell me when you were going, but if you're going to go crossing the Drake, otherwise known as the Drake Passage, otherwise known as the Drake Shakes, keep in mind, you're doing it between November and February. That's the season you do it. Now, the Drake Passage can be as calm as a lake, but not often. It's about 36 hours if you cross the Drake Passage to get from South America to the Antarctic. It can be very, very rough. I'm not going to mince words. Now, I don't get seasick. I've been lucky that way. But I will tell you, I came pretty close. As everybody on the ship was having a conversation with a porcelain telephone. However, you can also do the air bridge now to South Georgia Island, or to King George Island, excuse me, from South America. And that's another way to go. So, look, bottom line is, it is a passage, and it is a passage. You have to go do the passage. If you want to do the air bridge, it's more expensive, but at least it's basically about a 4-hour flight, 3.5 actually, That'll get you right down to King George Island, weather permitting. Okay, sometimes they can't leave because of the weather conditions on the ground. But in any case, I've done the Drake Passage 3 times. I've done the Air Bridge twice. I took both, and I was fine. All right. There we go. Here's one from Mary Beth, who says, we are traveling first class to Hawaii. Well, good for you. We want to insure our flight. What company should we use? Okay, first of all, and I say this every week when the question comes up, I'll say it again. Do not buy the insurance that's offered online from an online travel agency. I mean, remember, you can't complete the transaction on any flight unless you either opt in or opt out of the insurance. The problem is here, you don't know what you're covered for, and worse, you don't know what you're not covered for. So always opt out of it online. I'm assuming you made your reservation online. And then call your travel agent or your travel advisor and ask them. Because there's two different kinds of insurance, right? There's trip cancellation and interruption insurance. That's what you see online when you go to do the transaction. And then there's medical evacuation and repatriation insurance, which everybody should have, whether you're going to Hawaii or Houston. Doesn't matter. All right, again, go to your travel agent, go to your travel advisor. Not because I'm promoting travel agents or travel advisors. I'm promoting the art of the conversation where they can actually navigate you through the hieroglyphics of the policy language so you know that the policy you're getting actually works for you and doesn't have so many exclusions in it that you are actually excluded. All right, stick around, folks. More coming from Chicago as Eye on Travel returns right after this.
Please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened. Eye on Travel will be right back. Now, back to Eye on Travel.
And we're back. Peter Greenberg here with you at the Sheraton Grand Riverwalk here in Chicago. Of course, you can always reach me. Just email me, peter@petergreenberg.com, with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. Let's go right to Brian's email, who writes, my family is planning a 2027 Alaska cruise through Princess. We reserved the cruise, but it is too early to buy airfare. I agree, by the way. We are going to buy our travel insurance via a third party instead of through Princess for cruise and airline for the flight. I'm totally in agreement with that, Brian, about buying the insurance through a third party. My question is, since it's too early to buy airfare now, how do you go about buying insurance from a third party without the airfare purchased? Can you add it on after you buy it now for the cruise? No. Wait till you buy the airfare because you're insuring your entire investment here on the cruise. That means your airfare and your cruise itself. And by the way, since you're not going till 2027, there's no reason to buy it now. Wait. Okay? It's really as simple as that. He said, I was about to look through insuremytrip.com. Is there a company you recommend? Well, InsureMyTrip.com is a good resource for getting more information about your insurance. Another one is SquareMouth, SquareMouth.com. Both will give you comparative prices, comparative policies, and comparative insurance companies to take a look at. But having said all that, that doesn't necessarily mean you just, you know, tick a box and buy it. Now get on the phone with a travel advisor or a travel agent and say, hey, I'm thinking of buying this particular policy. Let's go through the policy language to determine what I'm covered for. And most importantly, as I always say, what I'm not covered for. All right. Here's one from Edward, who said, I have a quick question about which travel insurance to purchase. Oh, we're back to travel insurance again. For reimbursement of a villa rental, should we have to cancel last minute? I've contacted Generali, and they do offer a policy for approximately $178 that will reimburse you for many reasons, but not cancel for any reason. I'm not sure how I feel about them and wanted to ask your opinion. Well, you just brought up a very interesting subject that can be somewhat misleading, CFAR. That's travel insurance. That means cancel for any reason. Sounds great, right? I just don't want to go. Give me my money back. Well, it doesn't work like that. First of all, the premium for a CFAR policy is understandably higher because it means you can cancel for any reason. Like, I just don't feel like it. Well, who's going to insure that? Here's who's going to insure that. A company that will say to you, we'll let you cancel for any reason. You'll pay a higher premium and you're only going to get back maybe 50% of your entire travel investment. That's the downside. So you can cancel for any reason, but you're not getting all your money back. All right. So there's the difference. Then, of course, you mentioned one particular insurance company called Generali, but you didn't mention to me what their exclusions are, right? Forgetting canceled for any reason, what are their exclusions in terms of weather, act of God, or other force majeure item? What are their reasons for any pre-existing medical conditions that you might have that might force you to cancel before the trip? Blah, 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 all those things. Again, as I always say, figure out what kind of policy you want and what you think you're covered for, then pick up the phone, call a travel agent or a travel advisor. They can sell you the policy, but that's not the point. The point is they have to explain it and explain it to you in terms you understand so you're not buying worthless insurance. Okay? There you go. He said, we've already booked the trip, so I think I have about 10 days to pick before I'm out of options. Oh, the flights don't need to be included in this policy since we purchased fully refundable tickets. Oh, I love that thought. All right, but you know what you got to do, right? What you've got to do is go back. You've got that 10 days. Talk to the travel agent. All right. Here's one from Bernie, who writes, I travel almost every week for work. Just had a situation where I was bitten head to toe, oh my goodness, with 12 to 15 bed bug bites. I was given a new room at 1 a.m., and my company was not charged for the room for the night. With photos and an admission from the front desk the next day that the room was inspected and had been found to be infested, the hotel later told me that my claim was denied for any restitution to myself. It took about 2 weeks for the bites to heal up. Well, here's the question. They did give you a new room, right? Did you incur any medical expenses? I'm not the ambulance chasing attorney here, but did you incur emotional distress? Were there other damages that you can prove? That's when you file the claim. You see what I'm saying? The fact that they gave you a new room didn't in any way take away from the fact that you were hurt by this. You were impacted by this. There was damage. The question is, how much is that damage worth? How much can you prove? And does the hotel have any say in this? At this point, you can do one of two things. You can figure out what your costs really were, and I don't know the answer to that. And then second of all, determine if the costs or the damage were that great, whether this necessitates hiring an attorney. But the good thing that you have working for you is the hotel's admission already that they had a problem. That's the first leg here. So I'd say the best thing you should do right now, figure out what your real damages were, contact an attorney, and that attorney will tell you if you really think you have a case that has enough merit, or in this case, even enough value. All right, Bernie, glad to see you got better though, and at least you have the admission from the hotel. Back with more as Eye on Travel continues from Chicago right after this.
Your flight might be late, but we're on time. Eye on Travel will be right back.